It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. It is Sunday, August 18th, 2019. And yes, this show is back. It is back to its regularly scheduled time frames on Sunday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, and Thursday. My business ventures are over in the great city of San Diego, California. And I have to say, just a quick overview of San Diego, and maybe it's because I was there for business purposes only, it didn't impress me so much. I didn't dislike it. It was just built up to be so nice. And it was supposed to be this beautiful scenery. And granted, I didn't get a chance to go out and, you know, into the bay and look at the spots that probably I should have. But from what I saw, it felt kind of like any other city. Didn't feel any different. It had a few palm trees. There was a bay, and there was traffic. You could have put me in any part of the United States that has palm trees, and I would not have known that it is San Diego versus anywhere else. But I will say, y'all down there sure love your organic, green lifestyle. Let me tell you something. I mean, I went to the grocery store down there, and I didn't get a bag. You have to purchase bags to get a bag. It blew my mind. And I understand there's a whole citywide initiative and state is trying to go green, but come on. I don't know. I wasn't a fan. Everything's organic, a lot of juice places and healthy lifestyle. And look, I'm big into healthy eating and all that kind of stuff. I like it. But sometimes you just want an effing McDonald's, and you guys down there don't have it. I mean, sometimes you just want that, right? I mean, the closest thing I could find was a Panera. It was across the street from me in my hotel. So, I don't know. But, I mean, even at the airport in San Diego, they didn't have that. Even airport food. You could get your cheeseburgers and things, but I was just looking for a chain. I love chain restaurants. I don't know why people crap on them. They're successful for a reason. And I love my chain restaurants, and I didn't see one other than maybe a Panera, okay, a Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts. But there was no, like, Burger King or Shake Shack or, none of that. McDonald's doesn't exist down there. I'm sure that the market research was done in that area to reveal that the people down there are very health conscious. But anyway, I'm off my soapbox on San Diego. I am back, 2,300 miles back, all the way to upstate New York. And after the jet lag, after unpacking, after just craziness of trying to get my head back on straight after 3.5 hour, 4 hour layovers and 2 connecting flights, I'm back. Okay. The WWE Podcast is back. And I got a good week of wrestling for you because, well, SummerSlam's over, but the King of the Ring tournament is underway. So we're going to get into that also as the week goes on. And I'm sure there'll be a lot to say there. And so, again, just for those of you that are new, and some are, Tuesday is the Raw review, Wednesday is SmackDown Live review, and then Thursday is a co-host where we talk about everything. But this week may be a little different. I may actually be doing 2 back-to-back co-host shows, my normal on Thursday, and then the makeup from last week may be happening on Wednesday. So stay tuned for that. Either way, there will be a Wednesday show, so that should be a blast to be able to give you guys just blazing audio as we close out the summer of 2019 and usher in what is going to be a crazy ass fall. And I don't just mean that from the perspective of WWE. I'm talking about AEW that is going to be starting their weekly programming, their pay-per-view at the end of the month, and football. For those of you guys that are fantasy freaks like myself or are just love the fall atmosphere of bringing back the game of football, and MLB playoffs. So there's a lot of stuff coming up the next month, and I'm looking forward to it. And I know that many of you out there are that are wrestling fans are also football fans. I think that's a pretty safe assumption. So, all right. Well, today is not about really any of that. Today is about traveling back in time. And based on the title of the show, you already know where I'm going with the topic today. But it was one of the craziest reactions I remember ever hearing and even listening to it back. Just, it's amazing. I am, of course, a Stone Cold fan. I try not to just impose my Stone Cold bias when I do these wrestling nostalgia segments because it is, it's not fair. Number one, not everybody is a Stone Cold fan, and variety is good. However, this was a moment that stood out to me that it was just such a big reaction and everything that went with it and the build-up and the story to it that I wanted to share it with you guys. And that is, of course, Stone Cold driving a Zamboni to the ring in Detroit, Michigan. Again, September 28th, 1998 was the date in which this happened. And just to give you guys a little bit of a background, and yes, don't worry, I got some audio for you. That's some of the most fun part, be able to share with you guys the audio and have a live reaction to it. So the story building was Stone Cold was champion. Stone Cold was champion, and it was the Vince McMahon Stone Cold rivalry that went on for months and months and months. And the most successful money driving rivalry maybe ever. I mean, even to this day, you know, just accounting for inflation, it still may be the biggest money draw of all time is the owner versus the rebellious champion. And it was months and months of these two feuding back and forth. Austin would continue to defy the odds. And even when I remember this happened at, I believe it was over the, not Over the Edge, because that was the pay-per-view that Owen Hart passed away. It was when Austin faced Dude Love. And it might have been Backlash or King of the Ring. I'm not sure. But when Austin beat Dude Love, when McMahon made himself the special referee, Jack Briscoe the timekeeper, Pat Patterson the ring announcer, I mean, they stacked the deck against Austin. And yes, we've seen this happen even in today's product. But odds like that have never been stacked so blatantly by the owner of the company that you just got behind Austin that much more, who is one of the most believable characters you've ever seen in your life. And it was just so well done, and Austin would continue to defy the odds. During that particular pay-per-view, Dude Love ended up hitting McMahon in the head with a chair, and McMahon had earlier stipulated that the only way that match would end is if it was by his hand. Well, McMahon got knocked out, and Austin was able to use McMahon's hand to count the three after he hit a stunner on Dude Love. It was just, stuff like that. I mean, it was, everything was just so well laid out. I'm sure looking back with a more critical eye and much more educated in my understanding of how the business works, I'm sure I could find some flaws, but my memories of it were just so strong and so fond and so emotionally invested. It just, even the flaws that I did see were just erased and swept under the rug because it didn't matter. But again, I'm sure if I watched everything, and I watched every Monday Night Raw now, you'd see some things that were just cringeworthy. However, so the story after Austin, you know, defeated Dude Love, he continued to defy the odds. He got into individual programs with Undertaker and Kane. After he lost to Kane in a First Blood match, he got a rematch on Raw the next night and ended up winning it back that night, which that could have been a wrestling nostalgia moment in and of itself. But this was a moment that was so big because what happened the night before was at a WWF pay-per-view called Breakdown, where Vince McMahon said he had a master plan to finally take the belt away from Stone Cold. And he put Stone Cold in a triple threat match for the WWF Championship. And the rules were that Kane could not pin Undertaker, and Undertaker could not pin or submit Kane. So that left them with the only decision to defeat Stone Cold Steve Austin. And that's the only way that the belt would come off him. However, what happened was, while Austin did not defy the odds, he lost, but Kane and Undertaker hit a double chokeslam on Austin. Both covered him at the same time, leaving the championship really in limbo, because who do you award it to? Both men had the cover on Austin. So it's really a vacated WWF championship. Interestingly, before I get to the actual moment of the Zamboni, was how unfair the triple threat felt at that time. I remember feeling like, you know, of course, you know, I knew it was a work, but at the same time, I was so emotionally invested. I said, oh my God, how is Austin going to get out of this? Even before McMahon implemented the stipulation that neither other of his opponents could defeat the other, and that the only way that it could, that the match could end, or that the only way that the belt could come off of Austin is if Kane or Undertaker pin Austin. So what's interesting is that that triple threat felt so unfair. It felt so, oh my God, how is Austin going to get out of this? And now we have triple threat matches on a weekly basis. Just think about what WWE has done to the triple threat. They have watered it down to the point where it's beyond water. I mean, I don't know what it is. I mean, it's just so overused that it doesn't feel unfair anymore. It's just a typical stipulation that you see. It's not exciting anymore, and it should be. The triple threat has been brutally used to the point of exhaustion. And furthermore, when WWE implements the stipulation, what do? They insult the intelligence of fans by reminding us weeks leading up to this triple threat, if it's, say, for example, a pay-per-view championship match, of the rules that, oh my God, the champion could lose without even being involved in the decision. Really? Wow. I mean, every time you hear that, I just feel stupid for watching the product. I feel insulted by listening to the commentary, and even not necessarily even the commentators, but the participants in the match have to remind us of the rules, as if we don't know what the rules are for that particular stipulation. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. It's way overused. So my point is that when this was implemented, it felt new. I mean, it felt, because Austin had not had to really deal with these type of odds before. So he finally, McMahon finally got the belt off of Austin here, although we still don't have a WWF championship, or champion, rather. And a little bit setting the stage for that night in Detroit on September 28th, McMahon had security surrounding him in the ring. He had the law enforcement, local law enforcement, guarding the entrances to the building. I mean, McMahon was so surrounded by security and reinforcements and bodyguards that you were thinking, how in the hell is Stone Cold going to get to McMahon here? You know, Austin has done the beer truck prior to this. He did the monster truck, destroying The Rock's Lincoln Continental, I believe. Yeah, that happened before WrestleMania 15. So Austin has done this before. And while it wasn't a Zamboni, he has brought in, again, big, large vehicles into the arena. He brought his own truck into the arena and gave D'Lo Brown a stunner on the top of the truck. I remember that very, very vividly when he was in a program with the Nation of Domination. So Austin's done this before, but not with a Zamboni. Not with a Zamboni. And I remember Austin actually cut out the audio feed to this clip, when it was live anyway. Obviously, when you hear this, you will hear the audio perfectly fine because it was restored. But during the live feed, I remember the audio cut out because he ran over some kind of audio equipment. And you can see, I mean, what he's doing, he's tearing some crap up. But again, this was just, it was funny. I laughed. It made me yell. It was such a moment that you were cheering. Like, and when, again, here's the other component. Jim Ross on commentary, I say this every time, is such an asset. This guy adds anything to anything. Meaning, he could take a simple headlock and make it feel important. He just has the voice. He has the pipes. He has the knowledge. He has the genuine emotional response to what's going on in the ring. And when you hear Jim Ross's voice, it's just, it echoes and is in sync with what the fans feel. He had just an ability to connect with fans because he knew how they were feeling at that moment, because that's how he felt. So he's just a fan, being able to call commentary. On top of that, there was an interview done with Jim Ross after this event. And I believe it was on Stone Cold's, at the time, VHS, hell yeah, DVD, VHS tape. I know, I haven't said those three letters in order in probably 15 years. VHS, the hell yeah VHS that Stone Cold had. And in that interview, Jim Ross said that he had never heard a reaction like that in his life. And he said it was almost like the building was shaking. And it felt like that the Red Wings were winning the Stanley Cup. And he doesn't believe it was even that loud when that happened. So, I mean, and what's even more amazing, just one little tidbit, and then we'll get to the actual audio, is the fact that they didn't play Austin's entrance music. Why is that significant? Because if you're not advertised and it's a surprise, why the hell would your entrance music play? You wouldn't have the audio guy ready to cue you up. So when you hear Austin and see Austin come out, it's as if he's not a scheduled performer. He's not scheduled to be there. He's an intruder. So I like the fact that there wasn't actually entrance music. As awesome as Austin's entrance music is, it just made sense. And nowadays, you see people and men and women who shouldn't be there that are supposed to be surprise entrance, and you see their entrance music play. And it's like, how the hell would the audio guy know that he or she's here? Right? So it's just one of those little things that makes sense. One of those little things in production that you don't think make a lot of or cause a lot of harm in the moment, but it slowly chips away at you subconsciously. How the hell, you know, like, wait, how is their entrance music playing? Why would it play? Right? When they're an intruder and it's unexpected, they pop up out of nowhere. Why would it be there? Why would it play? Right? Okay. Enough of me blabbing. I'm going to get to this clip here, and this is at the beginning of the clip. We have McMahon talking about how, you know, both you and Kane deserve to be champion, and he's about to announce who's going to be champion or what they're going to do about this vacated championship. And fans are just clamoring, thirsting, drooling, begging for Austin to somehow show up and crash the party here. And, yeah, they definitely get their wish.
Around here, no question, Undertaker, that both you and Kane deserve to be the WWF champion. The two of you single-handedly covered Stone Cold Steve Austin for the championship. The two of you who have had tremendous battles between the two of you.
And I'll just pause it there. But so you hear that reaction. I mean, it's so loud that the audio quality sounds so bad at certain points. But because the crowd is so loud, it makes Jim Ross's voice, who's on commentary with a mic in his face, hard to hear. That's how loud the audience was. And I mean, you're hearing Austin, you know, or the you know, Jim Ross saying, oh, yeah. And then he just Austin only got a little bit of Vince McMahon here. And yeah, I'll play a little bit more of the clip in a minute, but it was, it just felt so good. And as I'm playing this on YouTube, it's under WWE's channel, right? And they have 47.4 million subscribers. That's insane. It's insane. I mean, that's just it's massive. And they have to they have to take out the small 4 seconds of Austin flipping off the entire mass of humanity in the ring. That was, to me, just so funny. I mean, go back and watch this clip. Just search Stone Cold drives Zamboni to the ring. And he flips off. Again, you can't do it under WWE's channel because they take that part out. But that part to me is just so funny. I don't know why I find it so funny. It's just like F you to everyone in the ring. It was great. And he got a piece of McMahon, and it made you excited for the moment, even though Austin ends up getting arrested. It gave you what you wanted to see, but a very small taste of it. Now, Austin goes on to get arrested, and further later on that night, McMahon gets his ankle shattered by Undertaker and Kane because Undertaker catches Vince McMahon flipping him off behind his back, and they both shatter Vince McMahon's ankle, leading to him in a wheelchair, and the whole Mr. Sacco was born in the hospital. That whole thing with Austin in the hospital as a doctor, you know, bedpan McMahon, that whole deal, that came from this ankle injury, that angle. And at the next pay-per-view, Austin did not get a championship match. He was the special guest referee for Undertaker and Kane facing each other for the WWF Championship. And Austin was forced into that position and told that he must crown a new WWF champion or he will be fired. And that night, Austin did not. He ended up stunning The Undertaker as Kane was down, counting them both down, 1, 2, 3, and saying that, you know, the winner of the match is Stone Cold Steve Austin. And it didn't make a lot of sense. I mean, wouldn't you just count to 10, right? Because how can a three count with nobody covering anybody is not a three count. But it was still entertaining. I mean, you knew what they were going for. Vince McMahon trying to humiliate Austin by forcing him to crown the next WWF champion. And Austin spitting in the face of Vince and saying that, hey, you're BSing. I don't believe that you're going to fire me. And Vince McMahon actually did. Of course, that lasted all of a couple of hours, and Austin came back the next night. And I mean, I could go on. This whole storyline is just so ingrained in my mind, and it's just awesome. So that moment was surely the Zamboni one was one for the ages. So just let me continue the audio here, as you guys can get a little bit of a more of a feel here for what was happening.
I agree with you. you, Vince. I ain't through with you, not yet by a long shot.
So that was Austin getting arrested, and Jim Ross just doing beautifully on commentary. Of course, the King, as his foil, as the heel color commentator, was just let's be honest, they were probably the best tag team of all time on commentary. End of story. And it was only a two-man booth. Two men, or two women, I don't care who, okay, I'm not picking on, it has to be men or women, I don't care. The fact is that there are just plain too many people on the commentator's desk. That's the end of the subject, but that's neither here nor there. The point is that, Vince McMahon here was brilliant in his role. Yes, he was not the most skilled performer in the ring in terms of in-ring bell-to-bell competition, but it didn't matter because he was the boss. He wasn't expected to go bell-to-bell. And furthermore, amazingly, think about this. These two put on some of the most memorable matches of all time. And would you consider them a five-star match today? Think about that, because today's standard of a five-star match is, for example, and I use this guy because he seems to be in the embodiment of the 2019 version of WWE's professional wrestling, is Ricochet. And again, love the guy. I think he's ultra talented, but he is the face and the embodiment of what wrestling is in 2019. It's high-flying, super athletic, not a lot of selling, just a lot of spots, which, if some people like that, that's great. And I hold all those guys up to the utmost respect, and I understand wrestling evolves through the years and decades. Totally understand. But when you take the 2019 version of it and you put it next to Stone Cold and Vince McMahon, say their St. Valentine's Day Massacre, say when they went one-on-one, would you ever say, if you didn't know the story, if you didn't know anything about the story with Vince and Austin, that that match with Vince and Austin was way better than, say, Ricochet and AJ Styles? No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. You know why? Because the story is everything. The story can make up for the faults of the match and the limitations of the performers in that match. It can put a Band-Aid on a lot of issues and a lot of limitations, weaknesses that Vince McMahon had. Let's face it, Vince McMahon was not a good wrestler. Nobody would ever argue that he is or was. Nobody. He just wasn't. But it didn't matter because the story was so intense. The rivalry was so personal that none of that mattered. It was all about the story. It was all about wanting to see Stone Cold Steve Austin get his hands on Vince McMahon, drop him with a stunner, drink some beer, drop him again, and walk out of the arena. That's what you wanted to see. That's what I wanted to see. And it never got old. Never. And did anyone boo Stone Cold Steve Austin? Was there that quote, mixed reaction? Was there a bizarro world? Was there the passionate fans of WWE, whatever stupid label that WWE chalks up to the audience every Raw after WrestleMania or any time that they don't get the reaction that is expected? Did that ever happen with Austin? Never. The answer is never. So to normalize that type of reaction when you're trying to have someone be a heel or a face and you are looking for that heel or face straight reaction, this whole shades of gray thing is it's a category that was created to cover for the failures of booking a successful face or heel. That's all it is. That's all it is. Why would you ever purposefully put a star in the gray area? Oh, we'll let fans decide. Yeah, they're not good, they're not bad. There's good and bad in everybody. Is that what you want to see in a movie? Someone that's indifferent? Someone that's kind of in between? How do you feel about people that are in between? They feel like an extra, right? An extra in a movie. You just go, they're there. Okay, I don't feel one way or the other. It just doesn't feel. And the thing is, too, fans are conflicted because then they see other people cheering or booing for that person and they wonder why. And maybe they're brought to that side, but it's a constant flip and flop back and forth. It doesn't have unison. If you have a character that doesn't have unison, how do you book them? And when you try to book them one way or the other and you're getting half of the reaction that you don't want, you look like a fool. And it's not the fans trying to be rebellious or trying to just, quote, have fun. That's not what it's about. Who goes to the WWF events? Oh, boy, I said WWF. Wow. I'm getting really into the wrestling nostalgia here. Who goes to the WWE events in 2019 just to, quote, have fun by cheering for people that are normally booed and boo for people that are normally cheered? Does anybody do that out there? Does anybody pay their hard-earned money to go out to wrestling events just to buck the system and be that rebellious young person that WWE has in their minds that it's all the 18 to 32 demographic that's just out there to just cause ruckus and see what WWE does if they give the opposite reaction of the role that they're being put in? No. The answer is nobody does that. The answer is nobody. It's nonsense. You want a true emotional reaction? True emotional reaction. Look no further than Stone Cold Steve Austin. No one burned hotter than Stone Cold. I say that all the time. People burned a lot longer than Stone Cold, but nobody burned hotter. Nobody. Hogan, Flair, Rock, Undertaker, Triple H, nobody. So the fact is that when there's a person that is the in-betweener or the gray, it's not good or bad, they're just them. Nonsense. That's a crutch for bad booking and a failure to get that person in the correct role and get the proper reaction. That's failure. That's a cover for failure. Is saying that they're a tweener. Because tweeners don't exist in movies. Tweeners don't exist in real life. Let's be straight. Everyone you know in your life, you either categorize as I mean, this is super black and white. I understand that. But it's either somebody that you would rather you would hang out with and want to hang out and see and maybe have a beer with. Or there's somebody you would, if you never saw them again, you don't care. You don't care. I mean, it sounds awful, but that's fact. When you boil it down to the basics, it's either people you want to hang out with and you like, or people you really dislike, or if you never saw them again, you wouldn't care. So it really is that simple. Tweeners don't exist on purpose. Or at least they shouldn't, and it's a crutch. But that moment of Stone Cold, I mean, this whole career, there are just so many awesome moments and so many big pops and so many times that just made me go, this is why I love wrestling. He is the reason that I'm sitting in this chair right now in my makeshift studio in my basement of my home. Talking to you about professional wrestling. He drew me to WWF rather than WCW. WWF was just a plainly superior product. Never got into WCW. It felt too bland. It was no cohesion. It was just... I never was a fan of the wrestling of WCW. Never got into it. I tried. I tried doing the channel flip, but I just stopped very quickly and immediately went to WWF. And speaking of WWF, I like to give you guys a little bit of news and comment on the big stories coming through the news wire at this moment. And, of course, in the world of social media, you're never really on top of things because stories are changing by the moment. However, I would like to give you guys some thoughts here. I mean, I mentioned at SummerSlam, at least in my review show, that seeing Edge spear Elias was the first physical anything that he's done since retirement against Alberto Del Rio. And since that time, we had a little bit of news come through the wire here with Edge commenting that he could wrestle tomorrow if he wanted to. And that's it's WWE and their doctors that aren't going to clear him. However, they cleared him for the spear. That's a huge step in the right direction. So while he says that WWE would not clear him, I wouldn't put it at the realm of impossibility. I wouldn't. I would say that I'd say 50-50 chance that we see Edge have a match again. And I am a huge Edge fan. And honestly, when I look back, I don't think I was big enough of an Edge fan. I really underappreciated what he brought to the table. I enjoyed his matches with John Cena, which sometimes seemed to go on forever, but I enjoyed them. His match with Undertaker, I really enjoyed at WrestleMania 24, I think it was, 24 or 23. Edge has had a huge impact. His entrance is super energetic. He has a really good promo. His facials are amazing. So could Edge come back? Yeah. Would WWE clear him? I don't know. But if he does, it would be deserving of a WrestleMania matchup. So if it happens, look for Easter eggs to be dropped over the next few months. Maybe him showing up at, I don't know, the next couple of pay-per-views and then randomly being in a part of the Rumble. I mean, there's ways that WWE could indeed clear him, and I'm sure Edge is trying to make headway into that that area, and I hope he does. I think many of us would love to see Edge back in the ring for that one-off that we never got. Other news, I mean, this isn't really anything worth talking about. I don't even know what to make of it, but Roman Reigns signed another multi-year deal with WWE. I'm sure worth seven figures, I'm sure. Braun Strowman also has two. I think that, you know, while WWE is making this public, I can't remember the last time that they made it public of guys doing multi-year deals and making it public. That's the key. And I think that WWE, for, you know, because you never know what their contract statuses are, and we didn't get specifics. We didn't say, oh, his contract starts here and ends here and is extended by this number of years. We didn't get that. We didn't get any of that. But what we got is WWE making this a public release that they're keeping Roman Reigns for multi-years and they're keeping Braun Strowman for another, I don't know, X amount of years. I think this is to do with a couple things. Number one, it's to show the WWE fans that are worried that they may travel over to AEW that, hey, nope, we've got them locked up. They're not going anywhere. It's also to try to calm the nerves of Fox and their stockholders that, hey, no, we have the big guys locked up, the big dog and the monster among men, because everyone has to have cute nicknames, that we have them under contract for the next several years. So it's nothing more than a kind of eyewash, really. It's nothing more than to just please their financials, their financial investors, and that's it. And to make and let fans know that they're not going anywhere, even though AEW is starting. I think that's really all it is. Some other news in the little news wire here is Goldberg commenting that his match with Undertaker was, quote, a perfect storm of crappiness. And I could not agree more. I don't think anyone would disagree that their match was just, it was horrendous. I mean, it just was. But Goldberg did an interview with the ESPN 97.5's The Hall of Fame, and he had this to say, quote, I had the perfect storm of crappiness because, for me, people don't know all the things that go into everything, right? At 52, going against The Undertaker and being Goldberg in the short period of time that I had, I can either do one of two things. I can get in good shape, or I can try to get as big as humanly possible so I don't look like an old Goldberg next to The Undertaker. So it's a compromise. It's always a compromise. The last time, though, I didn't need the cardio, man. I didn't concentrate on getting big at all in the last 4 weeks that I had. I just tried to get in shape. I didn't try to add a pound. I tried to lose weight this time. You know, every situation is different. It's like trapping for a different team. I liken everything to football because I'm a meathead and was born in a football helmet. So here's the thing. I'm not understanding what this argument is here. So Goldberg is saying that he can either go cardio or get big. Now, I am not a fitness expert. I don't pretend to be one. I'm just casually in interested in it, and I try to keep myself in decent shape. Okay, but I'm not a muscle-bound guy. I would say I'm in decent shape, but I wouldn't put myself against Goldberg. So just want to give you guys a little bit of a pretense as to my background so you don't think he knows everything, huh? No. But correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure that you could do both. Why does it have to be one or the other? You could do cardio and lift weights. I'm just slightly sure that that's possible. And that multitasking can happen. But what do I know? And then Goldberg, and this is the last quote here, then emphasized upon the difference between the style he was asked to work with his actual preferred style of work, and gave a few comments about his match against Dolph Ziggler at SummerSlam. And a quote, The ring post thing, hey man, that's a spot a couple of the bookers came up to me afterwards and said, well, we called it. We knew you were going to do that because 50% of the time I've done that spot and I've not had good results. Here's the deal, man. I don't profess to be an entertainer on the level of Ric Flair that can go out and make people laugh. I mean, I can, but it's not my way of doing things. My way of making people's jaw drop is blurring the line between reality and fiction, you know? So everything I do has to be okay. The kick that I took from Dolph, you know, the first kick that I took, that felt really good because I had to react to it because it planted on me. You know, it was perfect. That's the way I work, man. I'm a reactionary guy, and if I'm going to be a defensive lineman that was an All-American, if I'm going to be a guy that played a couple of years in the NFL, if I'm going to be a guy that is known to be a thrasher, I'm not going to run into a turnbuckle and miss it and act like it killed me. I can't do that, so I have to make it look as close to it killing me as possible, and sometimes, unfortunately, the circumstances are such that I go a little overboard. End quote. Well, sorry to say, Goldberg, that's called professional wrestling. That's what wrestling is. I mean, isn't that what the guys and gals do? You try to make it look real without killing yourself? So what you're saying, Goldberg, is that you are not a professional wrestler. You're a stuntman that goes in there and tries to make it look like it's killing you, but in fact, you don't know how to actually do wrestling on the level of 99% of the guys and gals on the roster, so you do the best you can and try not to kill yourself. And you don't have the skill level to make it as safe as possible while making it look as good as possible. And look, I like Goldberg. I think he's, he's an attraction. But what he's basically saying is, I'm not a professional wrestler. I'm a stuntman. And the stunt went wrong. That's exactly what he's saying here. I'm sure he'd spear me from saying that. I don't care. That's true. That's true. I don't think anyone would argue here that Goldberg is a true professional wrestler. He's just not. He's not. Especially when you put him up against the best of the best. Right? When you put him against Dolph Ziggler, anybody could look good. But he gets exposed so quickly. And I understand he's a nostalgia act. He's got a good look. He's still in insanely good shape for 52. I'll give him that. Can't take any of that away from him. He's a good family guy. Great. From everything I've heard, he's a very good guy. I'm not taking that away from him. I'm taking him to the woodshed by saying that he's not a professional wrestler. He's not. You can't claim to be when you come out and do two moves. You can't. Oh, Brock Lesnar does that. Have you seen the history of Brock Lesnar? Did you watch his last match with Seth Rollins? Brock Lesnar can go, if people are going to make that argument against me. Brock Lesnar has had a long reign in WWE to prove that wrong. But when you do a two-trick pony out there that is a 90s nostalgia act and you call him a wrestler, he's a danger to himself. He's a danger to his opponents. which is why, understandably, they keep him to a two-man move. That's his moveset. That's it. He hasn't even thrown a punch since he's been back. So that's what I think about Goldberg. And I understand everyone gets all excited. I never got into Goldberg. To me, he was the poor man's Stone Cold Steve Austin. He was the poor man's Austin. That's it. But look, great guy, incredible shape. Give him all the credit in the world. But he's a danger to himself. He's a danger to his opponents. And I'll leave it at that. So I just hope that we've kind of run the Goldberg train into the ground. I hope. So, all right. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining me. I know that some of you have missed me. Some of you have not. But that's okay, too. Maybe I'll get you on board. So I'll be back on Tuesday with your Monday Night Raw review, Wednesday with SmackDown, Thursday with a co-host, and again, maybe a double up on the co-host deal. We'll see. I'll give you guys more info. But there will be four shows this week. Everything is back as scheduled, and it's normal time, normal date, all that. Please check out the website, WWEpodcast.com, and you can support the show there, by the way, by just clicking on, you guessed it, the Support the Show tab. And you click on the Support the Show tab, you click on the Amazon banner. It's just this big Amazon picture, can't miss it, and you can do your Amazon shopping as you normally would. It just kicks back a little bit to the show. And you can also give us a 5-star rating and review anywhere that 5-star ratings are available. That's really an awesome way too. And you can get your ad-free experience over on patreon.com/WWE podcast, where you can get your entire the entire WWE podcast library. For $1, you get the entire library ad-free, not one ad, which is a cool deal. So head on over there too if you want that. Also, check me out on CastBox. CastBox is a really awesome new upcoming app that has podcasts on it. You guessed it. And I am now on that app as well, and it's growing like crazy. So check that out. And Red Circle, I'm also there. Really anywhere else. Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, anywhere and everywhere. So, guys, thank you so much for joining me. I really enjoyed the show tonight. And I will be back Tuesday with your Monday Night Raw review. Until then, I'll talk to you next time.